buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart. Although I was
well, good morning, everybody. My name's Mark Salem. And right now it's 10:04 with about 12 seconds left in this minute, and we're going to talk about cars. And so if you'd like to join us, the easiest way to do is get in early because the lines get kind of busy. And that phone number right now is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Car questions, car problems, stuff like that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. They're in Tempe, and if you have an issue with a transmission, Bob or Steve at Quality Transmission is who you need to call. They have many, many years of experience. They don't guess with your money, and they don't take your car apart for $300, $400 and then call you with an estimate, knowing full well there's no way you're going to bag that car up and take it somewhere else. They don't do that. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University, and really and truly anywhere in the East Valley, they're worth the drive. Tell them Mark sent you. Well, this week for me has been kind of unusual because on Facebook, and you're welcome to join me on Facebook, everything I post on Facebook has to do with your car, okay? I'm not going to tell you when I'm at the barber's shop. I'm not going to tell you that I'm sick. None of that. It has to do with cars and car tips. So I was posting some car tips this week, and one of the tips I said was, is you don't want to take your car in on a Friday, yesterday, for some car repair work and then leave Friday night for your Memorial Day weekend. That's just not a good idea. You don't want to find out that they left something loose in Wilcox, Arizona, or in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or in Riverside, California. It doesn't make sense. And shops make mistakes. I make mistakes. Oh, I've had my fair share, and probably yours too. So I posted that on Friday morning, and it was reposted by a lot of our listeners and our customers and our friends and stuff like that. So guess what happened on Friday afternoon to me? We did some work on a guy's car. He's leaving in a couple hours. And we did a test drive. And that is something that if you want to wad up my underwear really bad, then don't take it. If you're one of my technicians, then don't test drive the car when you're done. So we did test drive it. But the customer called back, and he's a really nice guy. Oh, man, is he a nice guy. He had me in his palm of his hand. And I'll tell you something even worse. He was a lawyer. So anyway, we broke two studs on the left rear, right rear. And so he brought the car back in. And the wheel had sustained damage. And so we worked our tails off. We put all new studs in one wheel. We got all new lug nuts for him. He only had 5 wraps on the lug nuts he had. So we got some different lug nuts that will give him 12 wraps. 5 is the standard. He had 7, I should say. 5 is the minimum. He had 7, and we got him 12. We did all the tires and everything, and we didn't deliver that truck till about 6:30 last night. And I was telling him, it's ironic that I posted that this morning. I'm not mad at you, but this is exactly the reason why you should be in on Monday for the Friday, or the Tuesday for the Friday, because everybody makes mistakes, and you just want to find that mistake before you leave town and you're all packed up. That's just a good idea. One of the other tips I posted on the internet this week, and there's a couple places you can find me. You can find me on Twitter, and anything I post on Twitter goes on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Again, it's a professional service that I provide there. I'm not going to tell you when my wife and I are fighting, which is virtually never, because I know better. The other issue that we often talk about is air conditioning this time of year. And many of you have been around Arizona long enough to understand the difference between air conditioning and a swamp cooler. So I'm going to explain real quick that in many of you, that you'll find this unusual and probably new. When you are in maximum air conditioning or you're in recirculatory, we're going to suck air into the air conditioning box by the passenger's feet. There is an air intake at the toes of the passenger's feet. And we're going to draw air into that box called the evaporator case. We're going to cool that air off and send it out to the vents. So like your house, the car is airtight. And we're going to cool the air through attrition. We're going to take 100 degree air and make it 95, then 90, then 85, then 80. And we want 55 degrees or less. Here's the problem. If you understand how your air works, you can handle lots of different circumstances. Now, when you go to normal, that's called swamp cooler mode. We're going to take air from in front of your windshield where those vents are at. We're going to draw warm air in. We're going to cool it the best we can, and we're going to put it in the car. Now, let me ask you. If you turned your swamp cooler on and you had all the windows and doors shut, how would it work? And the answer is it doesn't work. Because on normal with outside air, you have to drop a window down. So we have to cool the car off by dropping the window down. All right? So here's the question. It's not a trick question. Let's say you're driving your truck and you're on a hunting trip. And let's say your best buddy, your very best buddy, sitting next to you and he wants to smoke a cigar. And you don't particularly like cigars. And you got about 2 hours with this guy. What are you going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to normal. And I'm going to ask him to roll his window down about 2 inches. And I'm going to turn the fan up to high. I'm going to take outside air, put it into the truck, and vent it out his window. So we got air coming in, gets cooled, goes through the cab of the truck, but the exit, because I'm in swamp cooler mode, normal. The exit's going to be his window. And you know what? I'll rarely smell that cigar smoke. So the air's coming in and going out. Now, there's been times that you may have been, I remember lots of times when I'm on the ranch and we're working cows, we all get into the truck and it's kind of stinky in there because we all smell like horses and cows and all the byproducts. So again, I'll roll down the windows a little bit, 2-3 inches on each window or a couple windows, and I'll go into outside air because I don't want to recirculate that air. And if the cowboy sitting next to me happens to take his boots off and his feet stink, I'm not going to go to maximum either, or recirculatory, because think about that. If we're drawing air off the floor of the passenger front seat, and that's where his stinky feet are, why do I want to recirculate that through the car? So again, I'm going to go to swamp cooler. Now, if you have a pet, you can never go, if you carry your pet in your car, and if you're covered with hair when you get out, then never go to recirculatory. Never. Because we're going to suck that hair from wherever it's at through that vent down on the floor on the passenger side, and we're going to cover up the evaporator core with a mat of hair that's going to be half inch deep. Pretty soon, you won't even be able to blow a match out with the air that's coming out of the vents because the evaporator core is plug solid with cat hair or dog hair. The repair could cost you $1,000. Now, some of the newer model cars have a filter in that dashboard area. And that filter's job is to keep the cat hair and the dog hair and whatever kind of animal you have inside your car, keep that hair away from the evaporator core. But right now, about 20-25% of the cars have that filter. The rest of them don't. Now, there's no real easy way to get that hair out. Let me give you the number again, 602-508-0960 if you want to talk about this. 602-508-0960 if you want to get that hair out. We need to go on the other side of the evaporator core, because the evaporator core, I want you to think about this, the evaporator core is a small radiator behind the glove box, and it's going to be really cold. And on one side of the radiator is a fan. And so as we blow through the radiator, this evaporator core, we're going to call it a cold radiator, then that cold air is disseminated to your vents that blows in your face. So when that evaporator gets a mat of hair on it, the fan can blow all it wants, and it's not going to make it work. So understand the difference between recirculatory or maximum, commonly called maximum, and normal or outside air. Now, how does Mark use his air conditioning? In the heat of the summer, my truck will be parked, you know, by my work, and I'll get in the truck's really hot. So I'll drop both front windows down on my pickup truck about an inch, and I'll go to outside air. Now, I want to ask you, what kind of air rises and what kind of air falls, which is heavier? So when I'm sitting in my hot truck, where's the cold air and where's the hot air? Those of you that took science and paid attention will know that hot air rises. So from my shoulders to my head in the truck is the hottest part of the truck. And that's where my head's at. And that's where my thermostat's at. So what I want to do is I want to take outside air, cool it, and bring it in there. And I want to drive the hot air out the open windows. And if hot air rises and I'm pushing on that hot air, then I'm pushing the hot air out of the car.
2 minutes.
So you follow me? So I get in, I run high fan all the time, and I go to outside air, and I run it for about 5 minutes. And then when there's a noticeable improvement inside the cab, I roll up the windows and I go to maximum. If I were the king of all people, I would weld your fan switch where you can only use 3 and 4. Many of you still think that if you use 1, your air conditioning is going to love you more. Many of you still think that you're going to get better fuel economy on fan 1 speed instead of 2 or 3 or 4. That's just not the truth. That air conditioning is like a horse in a barn. It wants to be taken out and it wants to be exercised, and you're not going to change your fuel economy if you run 1 or 4, slow or fast. That's not going to happen. So the idea of trying to save yourself money doesn't work with your air conditioning. When it's on, it's on. And the problem with 1 and 2 fan is you get too cold in the car, and we've already turned that evaporator core, that radiator, to an ice cube. It's frozen solid. So what do?
1 minute.
You turn down the fan speed. But I need that fan speed to melt that ice cube. So all of you have got out of your cars and you've come back and found a big puddle of water over by the passenger side of the front. And when you look at that, that's that ice cube melting. And that's not good for your system. And then when we come back from this break, I'll tell you about those of you with Suburbans and rear air conditioning and how you're typically causing your own problems. And many of you will tell me, I've put more compressors in this Suburban or this rear air conditioning Tahoe than you can imagine, and I'll explain what you're doing wrong. So when we come back, if you have a car question on anything, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My website is marksalem.com. Salem.com. We'll be right back.
DMB Auto.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hope your Memorial Day weekend has started out good. And if you're listening to the show and you have a car question or a car problem, I'm happy to help you with that. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located in East Mesa. They're on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley. So Main and Stapley, just east on the south side of the road. They've been a family-owned business, and they've been operating since 1970. They're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on foreign and domestic cars. Brian and his wife, Thelma, they run a AAA-approved shop. He is an ASE-certified Blue Seal shop, which means that he's in the 10%, upper 10% range. And he's also on a TechNet council that helps determine industry standards and parts and stuff like that. So he's a very well-respected member of our community. Thompson's Auto was named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm proud to have Brian and Thelma and Thompson's Auto Repair on my best car repair shop list that you can find at marksalem.com. MarkSalem.com.
We've got caller Bob.
Okay, Bob, hang on. I'm going to finish up this tease here, and then I'm going to take you. We were talking about cars with rear air conditioning units. They've changed some of the newer cars. They've corrected this problem. But with many, many 1980s, 90s, and early 2000 model rear air conditioning units, you cannot compress liquid. You can take 10 gallons of air and compress it to the head of a pin. But you can't take 10 gallons of water and compress it to anything other than 10 gallons of water. because people would not run that rear air conditioning unit because they think they're doing something great for the car and the car is going to love them, that air conditioning unit in the rear would send liquid to the compressor and cause it to go bad. Those of us in the industry know doggone well that the most compressors we ever put on any kind of vehicle was those with rear air. If I was the king of the world, I would force you to use speed 2 or speed 3. Every time you turn on the air, I'd want that rear unit running. It usually has three speeds, 1, 2, and 3. I'd weld it to 2 or 3. If you get too cold, roll your window down. Mix a little warm air with it. But the worst thing you can do for your air conditioning system is running around on speed low on the front or speed low on the front and low on the back. That's the worst thing you can do. If you want to really exercise your air conditioning unit and make it last as long as possible, run the fan speeds as high as you can. Okay, Bob, your turn, buddy. How can I help you today?
Hi, Mark. The air hasn't worked in my 94 Chevy pickup for 6 years. It's got a 4.3 V6, and I have no intention of fixing it. But I'm starting to get a noise from the compressor pulley, and I'm worried that the pulley might seize up eventually.
Uh-huh. You're right.
So you think I should just go to a shop and see if they have an old compressor, or can they get another belt and bypass the compressor completely?
Yes, on both of those. You could just hang any old piece of junk on it. And let me explain. The way you're using the air compressor right now, we are just running a pulley on what we call the idler pulley. We're not driving the compressor. So we could take the clutch off, and you could still work that. If there is a straight line between the pulley before the compressor and the pulley after, then you can take the compressor off and put a belt on there that's just shorter. And we do that often for people who want to do that. So the answer to your question. Now, here's the good news. I don't know what you're going to have on your 94 Chevy 4.3 liter, but I think it's going to be an R compressor. And it's going to be a round compressor. It's going to have two hoses coming off the back, but the entire shell of the compressor is round. It's about 5-6 inches in diameter. There's a bearing in there that we can pull the nose off that compressor and just put a new idler bearing on there and then put it right back on the car. Sometimes we can do it while it's on the car. So what you'd want to do is, and I think that's R5A4, some of those old compressors, I get the numbers, but I think it's an R. It's a radial compressor, and it has a number after it, but I always mix up the A5 with the R4 and all that other kind of stuff, but it's a radial compressor. I'm pretty sure it's a radial compressor. Now, you could go get a clutch mechanism from the auto parts store and stick it on the front there, and it would come with a new clutch that you wouldn't even have to put on, and the new idler pulley, and a new pulley. You could do it that way if you wanted to. I also want to tell you to put that thing back together, depending on the condition of the hoses, probably won't cost you more than about $800-$900 if you ever decide to do it on the retail side, $800-$900. On the do-it-yourself side, you can buy a compressor. You can probably install it yourself. You can probably, if you follow the directions on how to do the oil on it so that the shop doesn't turn you down, you have to do a specific oil check on it and measure the old and add the new and blah, blah, blah. If you did all that and the hoses were good and the system ended up airtight, you could get by with probably $300-$400. And that's parts and labor. Well, that's parts and your labor. But then you're going to have it evacuated and charged, and that's usually, $100-$125, depending on how much Freon it takes. So those are your options. But yes, a shorter belt is a possibility, and you can replace the idler pulley, or you can just go get a used radial compressor.
Next caller, John.
All righty.
Thanks.
You can betcha. John, you're up next. John, how can I help you today? Hey, John?
Yeah, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. I got a 97 Chevy conversion van, 1500 V8. I put a fuel pump in it about a year ago, but when it went out last time, it was like sputtering and kind of like choking out. But right now, it just, it was kind of hard to start, and then now I don't hear the buzzing or anything. Is that weird that it would go out within a year, or do you think it could be a connection? Or
well, let me ask you: when you put the new fuel pump in, did you replace the entire sender and fuel pump assembly, or did you take the pump out and just add a pump in?
What do you mean by assembly? I took the pump out, but I mean it was like all connected with the little filter. thing or whatever.
Yeah, that's called the sock. So what you did is you dropped the tank and you pulled that that ring off the top. You lifted the pump assembly out. Now, it had an arm for your gauge, and it also had a pump mounted on it. Did you get the whole assembly with the gauge and the pump?
Yeah. I took it all out and put a whole new one in.
Good, good. So you replaced the entire assembly. That's the way I like to see people do that. I here's what I do. I would get in there, and you're going to need somebody to help you. So maybe the wife's going to help you. Maybe she's not mad at you today, like mine's not today. So you make sure she puts it in park and make sure the parking brake's on. Make sure if she's mad at you, I wouldn't crawl underneath that thing for love nor money. But you get underneath, and you say, honey, turn on the key. And she says, it's on. And then you just, I want you to beat that tank with the palm of your hand.
Okay.
And then I want you to listen. And if that pump lights up, chances are it'll start. And that indicates that you might have a wiring connection at the top of that pump. Now, General Motors has replaced some of the wiring on the top of the pump and to the pump. So half the wiring's on top of the tank outside the gas, and half the wiring's inside the tank that touches the gas. That would indicate that that's where you should go. But it's possible it just got a piece of trash in it, and it's just kind of seized up. So just beat on the bottom of the tank. You'll hear it buzzing, and then get the heck out of there and tell her to start it up. All righty?
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. Love your show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. 602-508-0960. That's the number if you have a car question. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. We'll take you as soon as you call in. If you'll let me just finish my thought, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you what Mark did for the last 2 years on his own truck. I've been chasing a problem for 2 years on my own truck, and I just figured it out. It's a Chevy diesel Duramax. It's a one-ton dually, and I'll tell you about it in just a few minutes.
Listeners,
8-man of color TV, get a backseat bar and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent. Well, I figured it up, and over a period of time, this $4,000 car of mine cost $14,000.99. Well, now, Lord, Mr. Ford, I just wish that you could see what your simple horseless carriage has become. Well, it seems your contribution to man.
You gotta love it, man. You just gotta love it.
Mr. Ford, what have you done?
Mr. Ford, what have you done? All right, my name is Mark Salem, 602-258-0960. If you've got a car question, we're going to take care of Joe real quick. Joe, you're up, buddy. What can we do for you?
My wife has a 2007 Tahoe LT series, and occasionally, not every time, there's a gurgling sound when she first starts it up on the passenger side under the dash. And then I did hear it once when the car was actually in gear and running. And it's almost as if it's a fluid sound moving through a tube, but...
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Now, does she hide her liquor bottles often?
No. not often.
Okay. It is. What happens is that there are certain cars out there, and believe me, I have chased this problem at least 10 times in my career. They'll put a restrictor on one or both of the on one of the heater lines that goes into the heater core, which is behind the glove box along with that evaporator core for the air conditioning unit. So one of the cores is hot, one of the cores is cold, and there's a little door in the middle of them that just picks which one you want the air to go through. So if you want heat, it opens up that door, and if you want cold, it opens up the other door. They put a restrictor in there, but they don't tell you there's a restrictor in there. They don't make it obvious that there's a restrictor in there. And so you're a nice guy, and your car is 7, so it's 5 years old. You may have had the heater hoses replaced, and one of the heater hoses, nobody saw it, that there was a restrictor in there. First of all, this isn't going to cause you any problem at all. It'll never cause you any problem. It's just an aggravation. You could go in there. First thing you'd want to do is call your Chevrolet parts dealer and to ask him, is there a restriction in either one of my two lines that feed my heater core? And if so, where is that restriction at? It could be in the hose. You have to buy the whole hose. Or it could be something that just goes on the end of the hose before you plug it into the heater nipple. If you wanted to stop it, and if you want to make sure I'm right, then do you have any needle nose vice grips that you own?
I do. I do.
You're going to take the needle-nose vice grips, you're going to open them up, and you're going to slide a couple of pieces of vacuum line over the two needle-nose. Then you're going to get underneath the hood and pinch one of those lines off to where you're closing the line completely. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're using the rubber hose on there is so you don't damage the hose, okay?
Right.
That then it'll go away. There'll be no more noise. And some guys say, you know what, my wife, I love her, and I want to fix this for her. And I say, you know what, let's just go down to Home Depot and buy a little ball valve with a couple of, if it's a 3/4-inch hose, you get a couple of 3/4-inch nipples. And we're going to cut the hose. We're going to slide the barb fitting, the brass barb fitting in one hose, the brass barb fitting in the other. We're going to put that ball valve in there. And then in the air conditioning time, we're going to shut that valve, and we'll have no hot water flowing through the heater core. And in the wintertime, we'll open up the valve, and she'll have to live with the gurgling. Tell her to turn up the radio.
Yeah. Well, it hasn't been too annoying. It was just a concern,
yeah,
mainly.
Yeah, yep. And you're right. You could do it either way, but I want to promise you, you're
two
never going to break down because of that. Never. Okay?
Great. What is the purpose of the restrictor?
It's to slow the water down, because if the water runs through the heater core so fast,
gotcha,
that it doesn't dissipate its heat. So if we slow the water down and make it lazily go through there, then we get more heat.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Very good. All right.
All right. Thank you very much. All righty. And we're going to tell you about Mark's car real quick. And I'm embarrassed to tell you that I've been chasing a problem on my diesel truck for at least 2 years. I can't tell you how much money I've spent on this truck. And the other day I figured it out. The other day, I've got this miss in my diesel truck, and I've replaced all the injectors. Those injectors are $300 a piece. There's 8 of them. I worked really hard on this thing, and I just chased from one injector to the other. But the other day, and I even have some very sophisticated
1 minute
instrumentation in my truck that we don't put into your cars. This is stuff that I own. I put this sophisticated instrumentation in there where I could watch the return rate of each of the injectors. And when an injector went bad, the return rate would go from a -3 to a +3. It would go to 15 and just hold there, which means that the injector's just not working. So the injector's not working. That means that it's returning all the fuel I'm sending it. It's returning. But you know what caused it? I noticed that for the first time when I put it into reverse, it was really bad, and sometimes when I put it into drive, it would be good. And I start thinking about majority of the injectors I'm finding are wrong on the driver's side of the car, and the motor tilts up in drive and backwards in reverse, and that was the doggone issue. There was a bad connection. I'll tell you more about it. 602-508-0960. If you've got a question, I'm pretty sure I can help you.
Mark Salem.
Born with a parking space. Lord, Mr. Ford, I just wish that you could see.
Oh, boy. I tell you what, I love that song. I love that song. If you want a copy of that song, I've got one. All you have to do is email me. You can go to MarkSalem.com. Send me an email, and I'll send you a copy of that song. One of my listeners turned me on to that song, and I just love it. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They are a full-service, family-owned auto shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker's is a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. If you live anywhere near 38th Avenue and Indian School, or south to the 10, or west to the 101, they hold that area down. They are the only shop that has my promise that you'll be taken care of. From 38th Avenue, or from Indian School south to the 10, and 38th Avenue west to the 101, they do a good job. So if you're looking for a good shop, then Larry Harker's is a great place to start looking. Okay, so my truck, in reverse, it's going ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, and in drive, it smooths out. So my shop foreman, because I just didn't have the time, I explained to him what I wanted him to do, and we came to this conclusion that when you put it in drive, the motor, as you sit in the car, the motor's going to lift up on the driver's side. It's just going to change attitudes. That's just the torque. That's when you put it in drive, the engine kind of lifts up as it applies pressure to the transmission and the differential. When you put it in reverse, the opposite happens. The driver's side of the motor falls down, and the passenger side of the motor lifts up. So we're thinking, because for 2 years we haven't... every time we put in a new injector, and folks, you can imagine, it ran fine. Because we had to disconnect that harness. So every time we disconnected the harness, we plugged it back in. It was okay for a while, but then the mess would come back.
Caller Ed.
So finally, we took those connections apart. We used some very sophisticated electronic contact cleaner. We put some dielectric on there. They have a locking mechanism that we made sure was locking good. And folks, I've been 2 months trouble-free, and no one's happier than that. But your shop's going to tell you someday, you have two choices, Mrs. Jones or Mr. Smith. You can wait till it gets easier to find, or we can start guessing with your money. I can't find your problem. It's not there when I'm looking. It's intermittent. And I can't possibly drive your car for the rest of my life or have my technicians take it home every night. That's not a viable option. So wait till it gets worse, and we'll find it. Wait till the car breaks. I'm sorry to say, wait till it breaks, and then we'll find it. Or we'll start guessing with your money, and I'll make the intelligent guess I can, but I'm not going to pay for it. You'll have to pay the parts and labor associated with my intelligent guess. Folks, he's being honest with you. He or she is being honest with you. Ed, you're up next, buddy. How are you today?
Hey, not bad. Question on the AC.
Okay.
I got a 2008 Kia, and occasionally when I fire it over, I hear this crunch. I know it's the AC.
Okay.
It'll do it like first thing in the morning, occasionally, and it won't do it the rest of the day.
Okay. It's something I've seen before, and you have a metal-to-metal clutch, so I want you to picture two plates put together, okay? Two dinner plates.
Correct.
Put together. One of them is spinning, which is the one on the right, and the one on the left is just sitting there. It's stationary. But we're going to magnetically shove those two plates together so that one drives the other. And that's a metal-to-metal contact. And what does happen sometimes is the metal-to-metal gets rusty overnight. People would be amazed at certain times of the year and in certain places in the state of Arizona, and depending on whether your garage is air-conditioned or whether it's sitting outside or what the moisture is in your neighborhood, what the humidity is, your brake rotors and your brake drums, they rust overnight.
So, right.
It's entirely possible that that's all that's going wrong with your Kia is that you are building a little bit of rust, and when you turn it on the first of the morning, it's going to slip enough to knock the rust away, and then for the rest of the day, it's fine. There is an air gap. There's an air gap that we're supposed to use between the spinning portion of the pulley, which is where the magnet is, it's behind the pulley, and the front of the face of the clutch, the most furthest frontward component of your compressor and your clutch. We take a feeler gauge, and sometimes it's 20 thousandths, and sometimes it's 10 thousandths. You might check and see if you can find what that specification is, and then just get your feeler gauge out and stick it there. The engine's off, the key's in your pocket, and all you're doing is there's a gap, and I just want you to measure the gap. If the gap is too wide, then sometimes there's an audible noise as the springs in that outer hub reach forward too far. They're not designed to go that far, and there's a noise associated with that. But I got to tell you something. This is kind of a no worry thing. This isn't. You would never spend lots of money on this.
Well, yeah, true. It doesn't seem to affect the air conditioner any. Never has. And I got told that I should turn the air conditioning off every time I stop my car. But
that's not true.
In 30 years, I've never done it, so I'm not going to start now.
Well, here's what you say to them. You say to them, you know what? Some old-timer told me this. He said, turn on your windshield wipers. He says, turn on your air conditioning unit and turn your fan on high. He says, and then when you take your key and you put it in the start position, you know what happens? The wipers stop. Everybody knows the wipers stop. The air conditioning quits blowing. That's because the system on every car in the whole wide world shuts down all your ancillary systems, all your auxiliary systems, so that we can use 100% of the battery to crank the starter. So why would I shut my air down when I'm in the cranking mode first thing in the morning? I don't have air on anyway.
Right. I just ignored their suggestion.
Okay. Well, remember we said an old codger told you that. Don't tell him I said that. You tell him.
Well, I qualify for the old codger.
All right.
Another quick question.
Okay.
I'll let you go to somebody else.
No problem.
Are you going to have all that info on the AC on your website?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's going to be an AC FAQ that's somewhere in the teens. We have like 64, 65, I don't remember. But in the teens, they're actually, the first 10 are for consumers. They're what you need to know to deal with a repair shop. For instance, there's one in there that says, you need to say to the shop, you look them in the eye, and you say, you're bidding me a $400 mass airflow sensor for my dying and stalling. Is that a guess or is that a fix? And you just stare him in the eye, because then the next question is, if he says it's a guess, then the next question is the obvious one. Whose money we guessing with, yours or mine? and how are we going to unwind this deal? If that $400 thing doesn't work, are you going to take it off and give me a credit? You see my point? Now, the rest of them, if you go under air conditioning, it talks about recirculatory, swamp cooler, normal. And then it also talks about, you know, proper use of your air conditioning unit. But the answer is yes. And if you have any questions, just go to marksalem.com, click on email Mark. My email address is really simple. It's mark@marksalem.com.
So, well, I ride around a lot with a dog, and long-haired American Alaskan dog, and I found out that I'm doing severely wrong things as far as what you said.
Yeah. Yep, yep. You know what I tell people with dogs? This
Please
is
leave
crazy.
Them home.
No. This is crazy. They laugh at me, but really, I have dogs. You open up all the cars, doors and windows, okay? The engine's off.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get your gasoline powder blower, one of those 200-mile-an-hour things.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you tape all your air conditioning ducts closed with some duct tape, except the two outer ones. So your wife's standing on the driver's side of the car, and she's holding a towel over that one. And you're on the passenger side of the car, and I want you to introduce 200 miles an hour of air into the vent on the passenger side. Now, there'll be a little bit of dust, and there's going to be some dog hair, but that is a way that makes a heck of a mess, but that's an easy way to clean out your vents. And then, if you're really smart, and your wife, you don't care if your wife's mad, as soon as that big cloud of hair and dust comes into the cab of the car, you can step back and aim all that blower at her, and she will love you for the rest of her life.
You're trying to get me killed.
You asked for my advice. I've been how many years you've been married?
44.
Okay, I'm 38. Yeah, she was 12 when I married her. That's all I can tell you. But yeah, 38. But you know, she's someday I'll tell you a story about when we got married and she walked outside and. Well, I'll tell you now, she has curvature in her hair, and she has this pink fuzzy night thing on, and I'm working on my Camaro, and I can't get the steering column out of it, and I'm really mad. And she walks out, and she's got crap all over her face, and her, you know, she's just about as ugly as they can get that time of night. And she goes, can I have a kiss goodnight? And I just lost it, and I says, I'll give you a kiss, and I grabbed a hold of that steering wheel because I was trying to pull the column straight out.
Uh-huh.
I pulled the column straight out, and I did it so hard, it hit me in the face, it cut my nose open, and then the steering column continued upward and ripped the headliner. So I had just done thousands of dollars worth of damage. I should have just given her the kiss.
It's cheaper sometimes.
It is. I'm learning. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Mike. Alrighty. Bye-bye.
You bet. All righty. Did you guys know that Phoenix Body Works was voted the best Mercedes-Benz place? Let me tell you, Mercedes-Benz, like every other car, is built on a jig. So if you lay on a table, and if we were all 5'10", then we could put a peg underneath Mark's left arm, a peg underneath Mark's right arm, a peg on the bottom of Mark's right foot, a peg on the bottom of Mark's left foot, and we would all fit that jig. Your ear would touch a peg, your other ear would touch a peg. See, it's kind of like a jig. Every car has a jig. And they have the machine. They literally put your car on this jig, and then they pull this way just a little bit so it fits on this pin. They push this way, and when your car's done, it's absolutely perfect. Now, if they can make BMW, don't take offense to this, but if they can make Mercedes-Benz people happy and BMW people happy, and some of them Lexus people happy, they can make you happy with your Chevy truck. I promise you. Another good place here in town is Kurt's Auto Repair. They have years and years of experience working on all kinds of cars and trucks. Kurt is a wonderful guy and has a wonderful staff. He is just a pleasure to hang out with and just yak and talk to. He's located at I-17 in Bell. And they opened in 1992, and they've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau, and he's in a member of good standing with me as well. That's why I recommend him. So if you're anywhere near I-17 and Bell, and you don't have a good repair shop that you already love, then please try Kurt's Auto. That's at I-17 and Bell. Okay, what else we got to talk about? We don't really have anything else. Oh, I do have something else. I graduated high school in 1972 here in Tempe. During that period of time, my butt was going to Vietnam. I had decided I wasn't going to join and take my chances with the lottery, and I ended up with a real low lottery number, and I was 3 weeks from going. Through the grace of God, Nixon called the draft, and I never went. And so I have I have been blessed by those guys that went to Vietnam, and I didn't have to. So I've always had a very soft spot in my heart for the World War II veterans that my family and my wife's family were involved in, the Korean War, but most for me is the Vietnam War. So those Vietnam veterans, those World War II veterans, those Korea, these guys have my eternal gratitude. And I'll tell you one thing, I should have joined the military anyway. It would have made me a man much sooner. Everyone that knows this guy knows I should have been grown up a lot faster. Heck, I'm still acting like I'm a kid. But I never looked at the military as being an option. And today, I don't regret finishing college. I don't regret getting married. I don't regret having three wonderful kids. I don't have any regrets.
One minute.
I did not join the military. I was so scared of going to Vietnam that I never looked at it. I became a policeman right out of high school. And they taught me a lot of things, but there's quite a difference between being in the semi-military kind of outfit like the police department and being in the Marines or in the Army or in the Navy. It's different. In the police department, you might be able to say once what you think every once in a while, but you don't do that in the military, and I should have learned. So if you want to complain about me, just remember the name of the company that owns this station is Salem Communications, and I'm Mark Salem. And so if you don't like something I say, I invite you to call them and say to them, I want to complain about Mark Salem. But until then, I pray for a happy and a wonderful and a safe Memorial Day weekend for all of you. And on behalf of my family, my kids and my grandkids, and my mom and my dad, thank you, you Vietnam veterans, and all the rest of you. Thank you, and God bless you.